Here's an interesting fact for you. There are nearly 1 million new books published in the U.S. alone every year. So if you like to read, how do you choose what you're going to read? Well, that's where Fully Booked by Kirkus Reviews comes in. You see, Kirkus has been one of the top book review publications for over 80 years. They do a deep dive on thousands of titles every year, including interviewing best-selling authors and telling you what might be the hot new release before everyone else knows. And it's coming to Podcast One in just a few weeks. So keep your eyes and ears open for Fully Booked by Kirkus Reviews.
Recorded live at Corolla One Studios with Adam Carolla and board-certified physician and addiction medicine specialist, Dr. Drew Pinsky. You're listening to The Adam and Dr. Drew Show.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get on, man. To get on. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for telling a friend. So, Drew, I'm going to get into a couple subjects with you here.
First, the Ray story.
Well, I'm going to use that as a springboard for something, which I have noticed. So we talk a lot about motivation and success and what works and the sort of driving forces that make people successful. And I never want to – I don't break success down into a monetary thing. I break it down to, are you doing what you want to do?
Yeah, thriving. Are you thriving?
Or are you being frustrated by life?
Flourishing.
You know? These people all the time that are like – you know, I look at my family. It's like my mother hates the San Fernando Valley. There's nothing less San Fernando Valley than my mom.
Yeah.
My mom pictures herself living on top of fucking Coit Tower in San Francisco. Like, that's her scene. That's her vibe. You know, she wants to be by the ocean. She wants to do her thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
My dad is the exact same way. Like, the fact that these two were basically rotted in the San Fernando Valley is insane because there's nobody less – Drew's getting some coffee. Nobody less – I don't mind it.
Yeah.
You know, but for them
– We are sort of products of the this wasteland.
Yeah, but them, it's a sort of cultural wasteland. Yeah. My mom would like to live in Venice and walk amongst the canals. And when I say Venice, it could be Venice, California, or Italy. Yeah. Like anywhere but North Hollywood.
Yeah.
But what's the problem? Can't get out. Can't figure out a way out.
Yeah.
And, you know, had lunch with my dad a month ago, and he's living in, you know, outside Altadena or something, Pasadena, deep Pasadena. And it's like, I hate it. Like, it's so hot in the summer, and we want to get down to the beach. It's like, we got to downsize, you know? I said, Dad, you downsize. You live in a fucking shoebox, you know? Now we got to downsize. Downsize? Hey, let me explain how downsizing works. You live in at least 6,500 square feet, and then your kids go off to college, and you don't know what to do with all the extra space. So, and the utility bill for the golf course, you call your front lawn, is too much. You guys live in 1,600 square foot of shitbox on some place like Monrovia, and you're living in downsize.
Yeah.
You're living what I hope I never have to downsize into, but you're talking about downsizing from that. And, of course, he wants to live in San Clemente, you know? And it's like, yeah, well, good luck. Now, who's going to pay for that? So I look at it as, and again, it's not all a monetary thing. It's like, are you able to do what you want to do?
So, some of that is inertia and stuff, too, right? I mean, they just couldn't pull it off.
But you want to live by the beach, but you're 84 and you've never been able to figure it out.
Yeah.
So that's unsuccessful to me.
Could live in a shoebox by the beach, that would be successful.
Yes.
Yeah.
But understand, not by my standards, your standards.
Yeah.
I don't want to live by the beach. You do, and haven't been able to figure out how to pull it off.
Yeah.
I do want to live where I live and have figured out a way to pull that off.
Yeah.
So that thus makes me successful,
yeah,
at least in that regard.
Yeah.
So one of the things I've been kind of studying is – and this is one of those things, and Ray has it, and every loser I know has it. It's an infinite capacity to revisit a failure.
Ooh, that's interesting.
Now, you and I...
because failures, to me, are just sort of learning experiences that they would never dwell. I can't think of one I would dwell on.
They have an infinite capacity to revisit a failure... And you and I...
So I always thought people that had trouble with failure just sort of stopped at a failure. But
no.
Preoccupying with the failure is sort of
interesting. Well, I don't know if they're preoccupying with it, but they have no trouble revisiting it. No trouble.
Meaning they don't have any feeling about it?
They have no trouble going right back to whatever it was of the failure they had from last week.
Redoing the failure. Recreating the failure.
Absolutely.
Oh, that's interesting.
Absolutely. You can get into the biggest shouting match. You know, like Ray would get his tools ripped off. I got my tools ripped off. I got fucked. Fuck, I need these tools for everything. Like, what happened? I fucking parked my truck right out on Magnolia there. And I went up to my apartment next morning. They were gone. Are they breaking the back of the truck? They're in the bed of the truck. Well, you can't. If you leave them in the bed of the truck and you park on Magnolia and you go up to your apartment, they're going to get stolen. Oh, I got fucked. Okay, but it's because you left all your tools in this kind of vulnerable situation. The next time you got to bring them up in an apartment. I used to live in an apartment. I had to bring the tools up into my apartment with me. You know, I wouldn't never leave them out in the truck overnight. They'd get stolen. The people who steal tools left and right, you know.
Yeah.
And they got fucked. And then you'd smash cut to, you know, 9 months later. It's like, what's the matter? I got fucked. I got my tools stolen. Like, what happened? I fucking parked my truck on Magnolia. I went up to my apartment and fucked. I got fucked. I'd go, well, wait a minute. Did we just talk about this? Like, you can't leave. I got fucked. Now, you're going to listen or not? You're going to listen. I'll go, it's going to happen again. And then it would just happen again. And they'd just be, I got fucked. And so it's an infinite capacity to keep revisiting this thing and never learning from it. I would get into this with everybody all the time, especially the guys I grew up with. Like, you know, but look at the people that get busted. Like, there are times I've had this happen. You must have had this happen. Happened to me about 2 days ago. It used to happen to me when you drive home from Loveline. I'd be driving home through Hollywood Freeway at 12:20 at night. Guy in a like 72 Ford Galaxy with one taillight blown out, and maybe four guys in the car just go flying past me. Now I'm in a BMW M3 and it's 12:30 at night. I got a radar detector, so I'm already doing 79, 80. This guy must be doing 95 as he blows past me. And I'm like, when this dude gets pulled over, this dude's getting arrested. First off, we got taillight out. Secondly, he's going 30 miles over the posted speed limit. And second, those tabs are expired. Like, he's getting pulled over. He's getting arrested. It's that car's getting towed. When this guy gets pulled, now I get pulled over, it's going to be license and ID and a hassle. I'll pay it with a credit card. I'll tell my assistant to pay it. It's going to be a hassle, but I ain't getting arrested. I'm going home. This guy's high probably and going 95 miles an hour. And he's on parole, but he's going right back. And this ain't going to be the first time. I had a guy pass me the other day. I was doing 70, 75. He passed me on a motorcycle, probably about 95. Mm-hmm. And he looked like if this guy gets pulled over, he's going to wrestle with those cops. Jeez. And I thought, why are you bringing this on? Why are you revisiting this? You must have been through this. You had to have had multiple scrapes with the law. How many times you heard the stories that, like, the guy was on parole when he stole the bag of chips and ended up wrestling with the guy behind the counter?
It's hard to understand. That's on parole. It's hard to understand, isn't it? It's very hard.
If you're us, it's impossible to understand. You couldn't understand wrestling a guy behind the counter for 89-cent fun sack of Bugles in general. But you really couldn't understand being on parole and getting into that tussle over nothing. That thing, you know, or the cops were called to the house after the domestic dispute. The guy was on parole. He was screaming and threatening. You know, the neighbors called or whatever. It's like, you are already in trouble. And you're sort of half out of trouble and half in trouble. But you will not rest until you're back in full trouble. Again, you were in full trouble. You slid over to sort of half trouble, parole, and then you did something. You had an argument over which Aliens was better, the first one or Aliens 3, and that escalated, and now you're back in jail. That is pervasive. That is pervasive amongst losers.
It also gets passed off with a bunch of euphemisms. Well, I got a temper. It's like, no.
Yeah, he's got a short fuse. He's passionate. He was like a passionate guy, you know, or he's
he goes 0 to 60, no problem.
No, he's strong-willed.
Yeah.
Strong-willed is climbing Mount Everest.
And usually those guys were raised fighting against authoritarian, abusive parents.
Now.
So everything is authoritarian to them and has to be fought against because that's all they've done since they were kids.
Now, I've seen the employment, work, whatever version of that times 1,000 too. I'm not talking about fighting with cops. I'm not talking about felons. I'm just talking about the now person that's attempting to get something done in the workplace and doing the same thing back to back, you know, and getting into the same stuff over and over. And with zero capacity
inside
to feel the residual from the last time.
Yeah.
So meaning, you know, you just got caught cheating and your wife said, you know, Drew, I love you and I'm going to look the other way, but I got to tell you, it's going to be a while before I ever get back to where I was with you. And you go, okay. And she goes in the room and shuts the door and she's crying in her pillow. And then you open the door and you go, hey, there's a bass tournament in Colorado going this weekend. Right. And she still has tears. She's like, you're going where? And you're like, what? You have no... Yeah. There's nothing in and of itself wrong with you going to a bass tournament, but based on what just happened...
Well, you called it when we were talking to a call yesterday. You called it sociopathy. And I almost wonder if it's a... You know, we've talked to people over the years on Loveline that had psychopathy. In other words, they lacked empathy, but they weren't evil. But they just really had a deficiency in the ability to appreciate other people really matter at all.
Now, I'm not talking about junky gangbangers here. I'm talking about regular educated adult white people floating around in my everyday life that have this and have it in spades. And like, and I'll give you a, so back to my buddy Ray, who I like to use a little human petri dish.
So this is going to be the...
What I'll do is I'll just take two stories and I'll just back them into each other.
This is the improv instructor story, one of them, right?
Well, I'll go back.
Okay, I'm just waiting to hear that one paid off.
Well, I'll go right into this one, which is we do Ace on the House.
Yeah.
So my dad calls it Ace on the Roof. By the way, I'm laughing about Adam Carolla and Friends Build Stuff Live because he couldn't get Crank Anchors or The Man Show. Is the Crank, the Puppet Masters over there? The Puppet Show still on? The Man, what is that on? The Comedy Channel? Comedy Show Channel? Can't get, it's called, okay. Yeah. Called Comedy Central.
Yeah.
Okay. But anyway. And I don't expect everybody to memorize it, but once you get into season 4, be nice to know the name of the network. But anyway, I said to Ray months ago, I need some pictures for the cold open. I'm going to construct this cold open. I need some old-timey pictures. Construction, me and you, whatever. He does nothing. Of course he does nothing. We meet on we have two meetings. We meet on Tuesday in the conference room that's right behind you, 10 feet behind you, and... The Spike production team shows up.
This is the day of the show.
Well, that's a good point. Yes, before the show started, it was the day of just randomly.
But
we'd meet on Tuesday.
Yeah.
And we'd go over the beats. What's the build? And I would have to talk them through the build. Here's what I want. Here's what I'm looking for. And we do all that. And I was saying to him, look, I'm trying to build this opening. You saw the show. It's got a little 30-second, here's me, here's Ray, here's where we are, here's what I did. You know, that's back in the day. And so a month and a half ago, I said, Ray, where are those pictures? And he said, you know, we did what Ray does, which is, it's as if you'd never even brought it up. And the beauty of this infection is it's not...
Affliction.
It's called affliction. The beauty of the infliction is, hey, it's not... 6 weeks from now, I need a chili dog and a blowjob from you. I want you to have a presence in an opening of a TV show on a big network, and you've never been on that. And you fought very hard to get on this. That's the other interesting part, which is lots of scraping. Hey, man, have you heard back? Am I in? Can I get it? I think I could really contribute to this, right? So you wanted to do this. Now you're doing Now, you don't have the ability to provide pictures of you for the beginning of the show. No. So what is that? Well, as I always say, yes, it's pictures of me for the beginning of a network, you know, Spike TV show. A lot, which sounds pretty cool. On the other hand, there's me doing nothing. And nothing always trumps something, even if something is good.
Well, but there's a weird, there's another layer to this on a non-emotional level, which is, again, I'm always making the pitch for sort of education, but success is preparation meets opportunity.
Yes.
And if you really have not been through the preparatory process,
yeah,
what are you going to do? He's prepared to build the loft. He's well prepared to do that, right?
Right.
He's got that preparation.
Yep.
But prepared to succeed on the job, well, that's never something that...
No, not in the lexicon.
Yeah.
But that's why I'm. That's why I was born, because I go, here's what you do. Here are your marching orders. Mm-hmm. Go get this.
Is he doing it?
Well, about 5 days before we launched, we sat in this room on a Tuesday, and I started talking, and it was like, so I'm almost done building this opening, and then I paused, and I stopped, and I said to Ray, where are those pictures for the opening, by the way? We are starting in 4.5 days now. And he said, I'll get them.
Uh-oh.
And I said,
oh, boy.
You'll get them.
I don't remember seeing them on the show.
No, they're pictures.
Okay.
He said, I'll get them. I said, well, when are you planning on getting these things, and what if I didn't bring it up? And he said, I was planning on it. Just, you know, I got to go find this. The other thing they do, these people we're talking about, they then explain to you what the process is. I got to go down to the basement. I got to go up the attic. I got to pull the box out. Like, are you talking to a person who builds buildings all day? So I'm not going to go, oh, there's physical movement involved with this? I saw you went Dr. Bombay and just summoned them up by using telepathy. Yeah, I get it. You have to pull the ladder down. You have to climb up. You have to get the box. You have to take it down. You are daring to explain the physical process to me as if I'm going to go, oh.
Well, you had to go up a ladder to get the pictures.
Oh. Yeah. And or the other one, which is funny, which is, I've been busy.
Oh, yeah.
Which is like, well, okay, so you're explaining to the busiest guy in the world who does nothing but climb ladders.
Yeah.
That you're telling me you're busy. Oh, and by the way, Ray, you tweeted a picture of you doing a hole in one at the golf course on Saturday. I got the tweet from you. So you were golfing on Saturday. So, okay. But okay. Okay. But here's the part I'm interested in. Here's the part I'm interested in.
Because there's a little corollary I want to add in here, too. Go ahead.
Part I'm interested in is that's Tuesday. I didn't give him the kind of tongue lashing I wanted to give him because we're in amongst the other people, but yeah. I just went, hey, man, I tell you to get those pictures. Get those pictures. We're not fucking around anymore. Yeah. We're going on a TV show. This isn't your usual whatever. Grab your usual circle jerk. You want to be a part of this. Now you're part of it, and you're going to have to.
Oh, you're such an asshole, Adam.
You have to wake up and get it together a little bit. So the following day is the day we meet in this studio for Ace on the House. Following day.
Okay.
All right. Here's the part that I'm interested in. Ray comes in and sits down where you're sitting. Doesn't have a care in the world. Not a care in the world. This is the part. And I've seen this in many of my friends and many of my relationships. This is the part that is the part where the sort of rubber meets the road in the inability for correction or any movement.
Okay.
He comes in and sits down the next day, 23 hours later, he comes in and sits down as if we never had that conversation ever. And he sits down right where you're sitting, and I said, Ray, yeah, did you bring those pictures with you? No. Why? I want those pictures. Yeah. I'll go get them after this. Why don't you have them with you now? I said I'd get them after we're done here. With a certain amount of curiosity, like, what did you want? Pictures. Yeah. We'll get them. Right, it's now Wednesday. The show is this coming Tuesday. When are you going to get these pictures? I'll get them after this. Now, you and I would have been a bundle of nerves. Well, we wouldn't have been a bundle of nerves because we wouldn't have dared showed up without the shoebox of pictures.
Well, what's interesting to me is when you asked me to do it, I would have to run home and do it out of fear of forgetting it or getting distracted by other things. I would have to do it immediately. And if I were living with Raisa at the time, he would find that irritating, which I find interesting. Right? He would find that unpleasant and irritating and, like, disturbing.
Number one goal in life would be to never have this conversation with that person ever again.
But the point
that
is,
would be my number one goal.
I would have to get it done before I could eat or whatever. I'd have to get it done now.
You would have to do
that.
Like,
and he would be like, well, you're not, what's the matter with you? Calm down.
Drew, you would have to do that. I would just have to simply make sure that I, A, apologize, and B, brought it in. Ray walked in and sat down like he just got off a cruise. And when I said to him, where are the pictures? He was like, I'll get them later.
God.
That is all you need to know. In which case, it was funny. I've had these conversations before. And we'll get to the good part in a second. First, I'll tell you about Life Lock, man. Oh, Gary's got the audio. This is awesome.
I mean, it's long, but I got it. I cut it about 20 minutes after.
Chances are you use the same password for multiple accounts. Bad habits, increases chances, hacks, identity theft, install password manager, and get LifeLock. Would you please? Identity theft, America's fastest growing crime. I've got LifeLock. The kids have it. Philly cheesesteak in the hallway over there. He says hi to Drew.
That's right.
He's got it. The wife and kids, everybody. They're U.S.-based. They don't outsource. They're LifeLock. No one can prevent all identity theft or monitor all transactions at all business. But LifeLock is the best protection available. Memberships start at just $9.99 a month. There's a little something called peace of mind for $10 a month. Come on, people. All the stuff you do online, LifeLock, baby. LifeLock. Drew.
Go to LifeLock.com or call 1-800-LifeLock. Use that promo code Adam. That, again, is Adam for 10% off your LifeLock Ultimate Plus membership. 1-800-LifeLock. 1-800. Call them. 1-800-LifeLock.
So, Gary, whack the tape. So what you'll hear is me going.
It starts right after you say, get it on, got to get it on, no choice but to get it on. That's where the audio starts.
It
is the beginning of the show.
I cannot believe, A, you're 53 years old in Ray. B, you begged to me to be on the show. And C,
it makes me so uncomfortable to hear the story.
C, after you didn't respond to my first inquiries about bringing in pictures of you for the opening of the show.
What?
Huh? The story's uncomfortable. Wait for this audio.
Oh. You didn't. But here's where I'm at. If anyone thinks I'm an asswipe, I'm teed up. I'm like, we sat in this room yesterday,
well,
and I said,
you've
where
got a show
are those
to run.
Pictures?
You've got people on your.
Well, it also wasn't like this was a surprise to anyone but Ray. Me and Matt were terrified for the 20 minutes that we spent here waiting for Adam because we knew that would be the first thing out of his mouth.
Well,
we didn't see any indication that Ray. You know,
do you guys ever try to talk to Ray?
I have, yes.
The reoccurring theme in my life is I am trying to do a one-hour live show single-handedly.
Please, believe me,
dispatch you with a little assignment, please do it because you're making me come back and revisit endlessly. That's the other thing these people do. They don't care how many times you come back to revisit or how busy you are. You still have to come back and revisit everything.
So we're going to hear this audio, but is there something about his improv instructor?
That's coming after this.
We're going to hear that too?
It all ties in.
All right, here we go.
That's Ray Oldhofer over there. What's going on, Ray? Did you bring in those pictures?
Going right after this to my abode and digging.
Why not bring them in this morning?
Because I had another show to do and I had to go to work.
Okay.
What, okay.
Trying to put my montage together for the run through tomorrow.
I'm getting it.
You're getting it for tomorrow?
Yeah.
I need it. All right. Anyway, we'll talk after the.
We're doing a rehearsal.
Right.
I went
Remember
for the rehearsal.
2-3 weeks ago I said get the pictures together?
Ace, let's not get into my situation right now. I'll tell you about it after. All right?
What's his situation?
Right, but,
no
right.
situation.
Here's what I will accept. Hey, the reason I haven't gotten those pictures together is for this, that, and the other reason.
Yeah, but this, that, and the other reason you know about.
No, what I'm saying is this, a month ago, when I was asking for them.
Okay.
All right. Jesus goddamn Christ. Try to fucking go through life here. All right.
You were restrained, actually.
Where was I?
Yeah. Well, not yet.
We're going to talk after this.
Uh-oh. Not yet.
Well, I'm trying to do things here, Ray. I'm attempting to do things. That's all. I'm attempting to do things that involve you as well.
I understand that.
All right. So please communicate, would you, for the love of goddamn Christ?
Oh, here it comes.
It's too fucking taxing on me.
When the Christ comes out.
Don't worry about it because it'll be there today. Okay, then? So you don't have to worry about it.
Not then. Not then. I needed it 3 weeks ago.
Okay.
You didn't say a word about it.
All right.
Okay. All right. Ray, what do you want to do? Just die? Like, what's the plan?
What, right now? Yes.
Yes. What is the plan? You would like to be on TV?
Yes.
Would you like a picture of you on TV?
Yes.
All right. Well, then bring the fucking pictures in.
Yes.
Jesus Christ. Does everything have to be a
fucking five-part battle?
Do we have to
start this fucking
battle?
Show like this now?
Yes.
Why?
Because 3 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, I told you,
okay,
get pictures
get
together.
And we're not going to get right into why I don't have the pictures.
Where are they? You didn't say a word. You didn't say a word.
Okay.
3 weeks ago. Then yesterday, I said, I need those pictures. I'm trying to cobble together an opening for the run-through tomorrow. Then I saw you today. You didn't say anything. I said to you, do you have those pictures? You said, no. I have them for tomorrow. Well, tomorrow is the
today,
run-through.
And I'm getting... No. I have them today. And okay. I'm bringing them there today.
Okay.
All right?
Thank you for that.
Did that happen? Okay.
All right.
Thank
now,
you.
What?
Bringing the pictures, like I'm going to hold them up
move
during
on?
The opening...
What?
I have to build an opening.
But did you bring them at least?
Oh, well, you'll hear what happened. But the point is this. It's like this other part of this weird dream sequence all these people are living. Like, I'll have them for tomorrow. It's like I have to build an opening. We have to scan pictures, put a voiceover, put a time to it, edit it, color correct. Maybe you'll have them. Like, I'll get a Ziploc bag with the pictures in it when we're doing rehearsal. It's a fantasy kind of a, I don't even know what you mean. What do you mean you'll have them? You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Okay, keep playing it.
Uh-oh. But by the way, you missed a little thing. He was not blowing you off. He was trying to calm you down because he knew what was coming.
No, but...
Yeah, he seemed a little bit dismissive, like, well, then I'll have, what's the big deal? I got it. He's like, no, I got it.
No,
he was a little bit of that.
He starts with, I'll get him after this.
I understand. Okay.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
I would like to move on
and help
people. I would
have liked to move on before.
All right, Ray. Get ready to be scintillated, everyone. What are you working on, Ray? Clocking. Stuff. What do you got for the day? What do you got, Ray? You take over. You take it. Take it for a couple minutes.
Sure, because the transition was so easy.
I know.
And loving and open.
Take it.
It's like, it's a nice time
what
to talk
got?
Right now
what?
Because it's super comfortable.
What notes do you have?
What notes do I have? Right here. Pick up pictures.
Swastika.
No. Get pictures for a show.
All right, talking notes on this show. What do you got?
Talking notes for this show? I have plenty.
Okay,
let me have
go
the
ahead.
Ads.
Go ahead.
We have some callers from all around. We got a couple of video questions. We have Matt here helping us.
All right.
Gary, thank you for showing up.
Carrie.
I've been working. Hold on a second.
Go ahead.
I've been working on the facade of the new door, the new entry, still, because the whole bottom plate's rotted out. I had to shore up a floor and a roof so the whole thing wouldn't collapse. What else would you like to go
good.
Get into?
Keep going. Get into detail.
So, anyway, after I took out the threshold and I took out the sill, below that, the whole sill plate effed up.
All right. That's
like
good.
Pushing detail. Your finger through everywhere else.
What's a sill plate?
Two side lights.
I don't know
so the whole thing started
that.
To collapse a little bit. Ray,
Gary
thinking on his feet,
a little bit down.
Shored the thing up, went about.
Oh. I'm sorry. I when I pulled this audio, I was just pulling the entire exchange.
But well, I got to fast.
Well, tell
me,
I'd rather hear your version of it.
Access.
I'd rather you tell the story.
Because we needed to get to all that framing in there.
I don't know what you're talking about, though. Where are we? The front door?
I yelled at him to go get his stupid pictures.
I yelled at him to go get his stupid pictures.
I want to hear about the improv instructor. That's where we started yesterday.
The theme of the endless capacity to sort of revisit the fuck up.
Yeah.
Is where I'm interested. And so what happened was is the following the following week or however it worked out, whenever I saw him a week later, a few days later, whatever it was, I had told him, listen, you have a lot of trouble listening. This is a theme we talked about. You don't hear people say stuff, and I hear you repeating it or asking or whatever, and the person laid it out. You don't hear the jokes. You're not listening. And I need you to get better at listening. And what I need you to do is take an improv class. You're going to be on TV. You're going to be working on in a live, unscripted format. I need you to have your ears on, and I need you to sort of be in that position that you get into, like this center fielder, which is that neutral, buoyant sort of, hey, I can pop, pop, pop.
Yeah.
And I'm also tired of telling people this because they're like, I took 1,000 classes. I'm not saying I'm super funny. You're not. You got to take a class. I'm saying I took 1,000 classes so I could do this. That's why I get to do it. I would like you to do that as well. Yeah. And no one ever does it. Ever. 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 And I just go, that's how I got better. That's how I got better. I just went on Saturdays. They have troops, classes, colleges. And there's a million. There's a million outlets. When I was starting, it was tough. You had to go drive over the hill and go to a church basement and stuff. Go to the Cornet Theater on La Cienega in Beverly. And I'm living in North Hollywood, and I'm driving my truck over the hill Wednesday nights from 8 to 10 and then back to work at 7. You guys don't do anything, which was driving me nuts. It's like, would you please invest a little in this thing that you don't possess? So I just said, look, you need to get better. You need to listen. You're not listening. I want you to get better on your feet for you. I don't want to argue. Right now I'm having discussions with the network where they're like, it's not really. And I don't want that. I want them to go, God, I love that guy. He's great. He's fast. Or whatever it is. I don't want to be defending you. I know your job is to talk me into defending you, but here's a better solution. You blow them away, and then we don't have to deal with this.
Yeah, yeah.
So I said to him, are you, you know, get an improv coach and start working, and start working now, because you get as many reps in as you can before the show starts, just to get some base going. And he said, all right. And then it got down to, sent me a text like on a Saturday, said, hey, Marv Sugarman is my, I got my improv coach. And I wrote back, oh, great. Then I went out with my Dumbo dad, who's his therapist. And my dad's like, for dinner on a Sunday night. And he's like, how's Ray doing? I said, well, you know, Ray's Ray. But hey, at least he got himself a improv coach. And he's been working with him a little bit. I'm glad to see that. I want to see him working with his coach, you know. And I'm thinking my whole time, Ray's been seeing you once a week for 18 years and going nowhere. If he'd been working with an improv coach for 2 months, it'd be money much better spent. But anyway, fine. He sees you. He golfs and whatever. He's not doing the improv coach thing. So now it was like the Wednesday before the show, or it was coming right around the corner. Had a few days left, and he came in and sat down once again on a thing. And I just said, in a positive way, how's it going with the coach? And he said, I don't know. I haven't met yet.
Oh.
And I said, what do you mean you haven't met? And he said, well, you know, I got a coach, but we haven't scheduled anything yet.
Oh, my God.
And I swear to God, Gary kept saying this answer, which was like incredible. I said, when are you planning on meeting with him? And he's like, later in the week.
Oh.
And he didn't say Friday noon. He just went later, like later in the week. And I was like, well, it's later in the week. And then the show is Tuesday.
Oh.
The next Tuesday. And he kept kind of casually going, we're going to meet later in the week. And I said, well, wait a minute. You've met before, though, right? Oh no, we haven't met yet. And then he got angry and he went, he's listening to my tape, my podcast. I am listening to my podcast. The other thing these guys always do is serve up some neither here nor there thing. It's he's studying the tapes of the podcast from last December. So that's going to make you much better at doing it. Like, first off, don't even offer up this. It's insulting to smart people, right?
Yes.
So he gets a little, you know, later in the week. And I said,
I'm sure it was his suggestion, too, like regular. Hey, you need to listen to this before I'll come in. Like, okay.
I had been literally in my head thinking, I think, you know, if he met with him every other day or every third day, maybe he'd get 4 or 5 sessions in before.
What are you going to do in one session? What are you going to do? Nothing.
Look, my fantasy was that he got with this guy for multiple times in a short period of time.
That's why you get a coach.
And just got some quick basics.
Yeah.
And he's treating it like he's getting his teeth cleaned at the dentist.
Yes.
I'm treating it like a personal trainer. Like maybe we can shed a couple pounds before the underpants competition. So he said, I'm going later in the week. What do you want me to tell you? And I'm like, the show's starting. And he's like, well, what do you want me to do? And I said, and here's where it all comes full circle.
No wonder you're so frustrated. I had no idea.
I yelled at him. Well, the week before was the pictures. Now it was this. And I just said, he said, what do you want me to do? Or something. And I said, get up and see him today. And he said, and this is where it turned. This is where it comes
in. This is the rubber hitting the road.
Here it is.
Okay.
He turned around and he looked at me and he went, "You want me to see him today? You want me to fucking see him today?" And I said, "Yes, I do." And he said, "Fuck it. Fuck you. I'll see him today. Fine." And he stormed out. And I ran out after him and I do what I always do. I'm rich. I don't care. I'm rich and I'm on the show. I'm the name of the show. I don't give a fuck whether you see him or not. I'm doing this for you. And when he stormed out and went, "Fine, I'll fucking see him today. Fuck you." And he stormed out. I went, I need you to hear what you just said to me. You just screamed at me, "Fine, fuck you. I'll see my coach today." I said, "Do you really understand what that sounds like? Do you really understand? That's how your wiring is. You're screaming at me, 'Fuck you. I'll go better myself.'" And he paused and went, "Sorry, that sounds insane. I do understand."
Did he come back in then?
No. I listen, at this point, whether it's the pictures or whether it's the acting coach, I didn't kick him out of the podcast. It was right at the end of the podcast. Okay. I am so interested in getting him to the fucking coach.
Yeah.
I don't want him to come back.
Did he go to the coach?
I have no idea. Because,
oh, my God.
Well, at a certain point, I have to do a TV show.
This is the most uncomfortable story I've ever heard in my life.
Uncomfortable, but here's the thing. Uncomfortable for you.
Yes.
Not for them. Not for them who has no problems revisiting this in perpetuity. Zero comfort issues for them.
Oh, my God.
Zero.
It goes to me in the zone of, I'll show up for the exam. I'm prepared. It's a bad dream. It's a bad dream. It's a bad dream. It's like it's an anxiety dream.
This is an epidemic, and it is on.
Well, what do you want me to do is something we hear from millennials with drug addiction all the time. We're saying to them all the time, like, do you want to spend the rest of your life in your dad's basement? What do you want to do? And this is their response. What do you want me to do?
Right.
It's like, why would you do? How would you to thrive?
Incredible.
How's that going to work?
It's incredible.
So it's gone to another layer down, Adam.
Yeah.
It's gone another sort of
excellent
into the basement.
A whole new pile of fucking people to beat up because
yeah, but they're getting sick because of it now.
Good. Maybe they'll die. And to deal with them.
Oh, my God. Well, here's a little transition. Let's go to TrueCar.
Mm.
Yeah. Let's get a little upbeat here. You can buy a used car at TrueCar. Over 700,000 pre-owned vehicles available from the over 13,000 TrueCar certified dealers. TrueCar is going to help me cleanse my palate here. Mm-hmm. I think about looking at that. Yes. I look at the scattergram for the car I want, learn about the car I want, pick a fair price, lock in that price, take it to a TrueCar certified dealer, 13,000 of them throughout the country. And I know the price I locked in is for a car in their inventory on the lot. So I will have a secure buying experience when I go in there. And whether you're looking to buy new or used, you get that upfront pricing and you get discounts off the list price you can't get anywhere else. Overall, a much better buying experience. As I said, you'll see what others paid for the car you want. That's a scattergram they give you at TrueCar. Then you understand the fair price, you lock it in, connect with a local TrueCar certified dealer. Quick, easy buying experience. So when you're ready to buy new or used, visit TrueCar. Some features not available in all states.
New or used, baby, TrueCar. All right, go to AdamCarolla.com for anything. There's cruises. There's me and Dennis Prager. There's CorollaDrinks.com. There's all the stuff. They go to Chassis, the 24-Hour War, T-shirts, mugs, whatever.
I'm going to have bad dreams tonight. Ray dreams. Really?
Hey, many people I know are
Gary,
this
you're
way.
Wired a little bit like me. You understand what I'm talking about?
Most people I grew up with.
You get that same feeling I get from this story?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm a little closer to it than you are. I've had a lot of interactions with Ray one-on-one that have jaded me probably more than you are an average listener.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. So it doesn't matter. Mm-hmm.
Well, go to drdrew.com. Check out all the podcasts there. Me and Spaz. There's a guy that gets shit done. No, he does.
Yeah, I know.
And in fact, he overdoes. He'll come in with a stack of articles and stuff.
I know. He'll read one of them.
No. Oh, no.
All right.
No. I asked him to do an article. If you go to drdrew.com/contact, we send a weekly newsletter from me and Spaz. And I talked about it the night before, and boom, it was out the next day, and it was good.
All right.
LSD.
Here we go.
All right. Go to drdrew.com. Check it out.
So until next time, I'm Crow for Dr. Hussain. Mahalo.